This podcast is brought to you by Business Radio, powered by Wharton.
I'm Carl Ulrich, Vice Dean of Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the Wharton School, and this is Launchpad, where I talk to successful entrepreneurs about the secrets to launching and growing their startups.
I'm super lucky now to be joined in the studio by Seth Neal, who is a co-founder of Welligence. Welligence is another semi-finalist. Seth, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so Seth, you had the benefit of seeing here, listening to Haley get grilled. So we're going to take basically the same format. Give me the elevator pitch for Welligence.
Yeah. So I didn't bring any treats, unfortunately, just algorithms for me. But
That is a treat for me.
I'm glad. So it won't surprise any of the listeners that one of the largest industries in the world is the energy industry. If you look at the top companies in the world by market cap, certainly a lot of them, the majority of them, are in oil and gas. And so a tremendous amount of capital has been invested in improving the processes for upstream exploration. So really producing oil and gas, whether it's drilling, fracking. What really surprised me when I first found this out is that in some areas, the same level of investment has not really been applied on the data side. So in terms of the algorithms that really determine what the future production is going to look like and where to drill and kind of to help the real decision makers put data behind their decisions. So what Welligence does is we gather the richest data set of upstream oil and gas data, we think, in the world, particularly in Latin America, and we build our own proprietary models to forecast well-by-well production, which is then combined into these pretty clean data tools for our clients to use and make better decisions.
All right. Well, boy, there's a lot here. And I really had to switch gears from dog treats to big data. So first of all, I want to just congratulate you on an awesome name. Welligence is a great name.
Thanks.
And you have the full .com, which is awesome. So if folks want to check it out, it's Welligence.com. That's like intelligence, but Welligence.com. All right. Well, let's start with the customer side of this business. So give us an example of who cares about this data.
Yeah. Sure. So there's a couple main client segments, but the big ones are going to be exploration and production companies who are either looking to acquire new assets or just want to see how the outside market would view their own assets. So that's extremely important for planning, how they allocate capital.
Okay. Yeah. But hold it. So would they want to know about their own assets or about the context in which they're operating?
Yeah. So it could be both. It could be in terms of acquiring new ones, seeing how we would value those based on what our production forecasts look like, or their own if they wanted to sell to try and validate their own kind of internal models.
But this is what they do. Is explore and acquire and what are the two? It's explore and used another word.
Produce.
Yeah, explore and produce. Yeah. So this is what they do.
Yeah.
Why don't they have models to do this?
So they do about maybe their own assets.
Yeah.
But in terms of other people's assets.
Okay.
I think part of the reason is that acquiring the data is difficult. It's kind of a skill set that you'd find more like a data science skill set that maybe is less common or the industry hasn't fully embraced yet. But I think the real answer to this question is that they do have very complex systems, and these are large companies that look at it, but they all take an immense amount of outside research. And the real issue is that the outside research currently doesn't use any of the available data.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So then let's flip to the supply side, to the data side. Where does this data come from? I wouldn't think that people operating wells would provide their data. So just tell us a little bit about where it comes from.
Yeah. So right now our main focus is on Latin America. Mm-hmm. And in almost all of these countries, the main oil producer is the state-run oil company. And they typically provide access to their data for a variety of reasons, to encourage outside investment, for example, or just a level of transparency that's expected from a government entity. So that's a main reason they provide the data. On the flip side, that makes, because it's kind of not a commercial entity that's providing the data for a specific purpose, it makes the data pretty messy. And sometimes, you know, there's a million municipal sites that need to be scraped and cleaned and cross-checked. So it's a pretty arduous process.
Yeah. And it strikes me that some of the benefits of the so-called big data movement are actually pretty mundane stuff, like getting all the data, getting the rows and columns right, and getting all the timestamps right, and all that stuff. Pretty mundane stuff,
yeah.
But totally. Tremendous value if you can go through the work of doing that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, just even getting all the data collated and cross-referenced and in the same, you know, Amazon database with the columns correctly named is a big win because it is really valuable data.
Yeah. So Seth, you don't seem like you're from Latin America, nor do you seem like you're in the oil industry. Where did this idea come from, and how did you get involved?
Yeah, so the credit for the idea really goes to my great co-founder and our CEO, Ross Lubetkin. So he's a Wharton grad, class of 2017.
Yeah,
he's from Texas and had worked in the oil industry his entire young career for about 8 years before business school. So he was actually running a third-party energy research division in Brazil, the Brazil office of the largest incumbent, for a number of years before business school, worked in energy private equity, and actually bought worked on a deal where they bought a third-party energy research company. And he saw the difficulty that energy research companies had with covering this Latin American space because they didn't know where the data was. It's hard to get. And kind of realized that taking this more machine learning, big data approach to forecasting production, as opposed to analysts with Excel spreadsheets, kind of big round hole numbers, could really improve the way things were done.
Mm-hmm. And then how did you get involved?
Yeah, so I'm doing a PhD at the Wharton School in Statistics with a focus on machine learning. I work in computer science. And I was TAing Ross's introductory statistics class
when he was
in the business school. Yeah, during my second year of grad school, and actually Emil Pitkin, who's another Wharton professor, introduced us. So.
Wow! So that leads me to a question. Maybe you can help our listeners with. One of the questions I get, I would say I get it from every third entrepreneur is a student entrepreneur is how do I find a technical co-founder. And especially in a really hot field. And I suppose it's a two-part question. The first is, why aren't you working, you know, on the AlphaGo team at Google, right? Or something like that, which is going to be, there are tremendous opportunities at some of the big tech companies in industry generally for the skill set you have. So that would be on, you know, at the personal level. But then more generally, what advice would you give to entrepreneurs who are trying to find technical co-founders in a really hot field?
Yeah. So certainly this isn't, as someone doing a PhD in machine learning, this wasn't the first time I've been approached to work on a startup. But what really stuck out to me with Ross was, first of all, his incredible experience in the field. So he really knew what the kind of state of the art was and what could be done to improve it. And he had a very clear plan in terms of whether it's raising money or the right, you know, clients to contact, the products that we would build. And I could really see that, you know, if I put the time in early, it could really go somewhere. Because, you know, when you can build the best algorithm in the world, but if it's not being used by somebody, it's not as exciting. And then, maybe try and appeal to the technical co-founder's entrepreneurial bent, as opposed to, you know, being the 10th guy working on reinforcement learning on AlphaGo or something.
Yeah. So, what is appealing? And what was appealing to you? I mean, getting, you know, entrepreneurship, right? Gaining on the ground floor and being part of something, that I certainly get. But what about the, in terms of the technical challenge?
Yeah, so it just seemed like a really untapped data set. And the prospect of just being the first one to really make sense of it was exciting. And also just as a complement to my research, which is more theoretical, just the ability to apply all the things I've learned you know, at Penn, and in the last couple of years on a real world challenge on a data set that matters. It was very exciting.
Yeah. So it sounds like Ross graduated last spring.
Yeah.
And so give us a sense of what the plan is here. You got the business plan competition coming up.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he's sort of running right now.
Yeah.
He's
off and running. So we're both definitely running. We raised an initial round of funding about a month ago. And so we're kind of scaling up right now. We're preparing to deliver our kind of flagship product, which is a portal with Brazil and Mexico, in about a month. Mm-hmm. And the team's about, you know, we're hiring rapidly. So 7 or 8 full-time people right now.
Yeah. So I know you're the CTO and probably Ross had to lead the fundraising effort. But I want to ask you a question about fundraising. This is a pretty arcane product. And it's... I wonder what advice, you know, what lessons you've learned about how to pitch this and how to communicate it to somebody who isn't in this industry, and maybe some reflections on that fundraising.
So I think the fact that it is an arcane product was a blessing in disguise, because we really went to people who knew the space and knew what the value proposition was, and it wasn't an area where they're getting a lot of pitches like this. So I think that worked to our benefit, and that's who our investors ended up being, kind of energy insiders, one being a large private equity firm, energy private equity firm in Texas, and the others being, you know, private equity investors with a focus on energy.
Yeah. You know, so I actually wondered, we didn't talk very long about the customer side. You talked mostly about people who are directly in the oil and gas business.
Yeah,
but talk a little bit about those who make money off information.
That's almost an equally large client segment. Yeah. We just kind of got some. Private equity is a big potential client because, you know, this, you're right. This, they aren't producing these assets, but they still need the data. They're still putting in the money. And so to give them a screening tool where they can easily visualize things is a big value proposition for them. And then there's... potentially hedge funds, which is a little more down the line, who trade, say, municipal bonds backed by oil or all these
things. So this would be along the lines of those industries that, or those companies that provide weather data to private to hedge funds that are trading on agriculture, right? They're looking for some kind of information.
Yeah,
hedge.
Exactly. And a little more curated because we also provide our own analysis and algorithms and valuations, but yes.
Yeah. All right, Seth. Well, it's super interesting, and it's a nice example of an entrepreneurial opportunity growing out of prior experience where you're in a job, you're in an industry, you recognize an opportunity. And then I love the way the team came together here at Penn. So good luck with the business plan competition, or with the Penn Wharton Startup Challenge next time. And thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, so for more information about Welligence, you just go to welligence.com.
I'm Carl Ulrich, Vice Dean of Entrepreneurship and Innovation at Wharton. Launchpad is produced by Business Radio, powered by the Wharton School, on Sirius XM, Channel 111. The show airs live on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. You can find more episodes of this podcast on SoundCloud or on iTunes.
For more insight from Business Radio, please visit businessradio.wharton.upenn.edu.